This is Mel Rojas Jr. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
It's still the year of the Tiger, even if it is not the year of your Hanshin Tigers. But we're still here as H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, and I am your host, T-Ray. Today is April the 17th, and this is episode 147 of our pod. Joining me from Paradise on Earth, where there are no Tigers, I don't believe, and there certainly aren't any losses for the Tigers, is Sanjay. How are you doing, buddy?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. You know, I think that there might be a few Tigers in the Honolulu Zoo, but and the McKinley Tigers sports teams, but not that many losses, thankfully.
There you go. Well, we've got plenty of losses to talk about, but that's not the point of today's show. We are keeping the faith, keeping the hope alive for this team, but what we are going to do is extrapolate on some of the Tigers' team and individual numbers this year and see what some of our guys and the team are on pace for in 2022. Strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
So we're going to start with our imports as we like to do. And first up is Wei Yin Chen from Taiwan. He pitched in a couple of games during this past fortnight. That's good news, just the fact that he is on the mound and throwing in games. It was a practice game on the 6th of April. He went 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs. The following week, he pitched against the Dragons in a real farm game, 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 runs, and 1 strikeout. So I heard talk that his velocity is not what it needs to be. And I wonder if maybe he couldn't be a guy that comes in out of the bullpen as opposed to being a starter for the Tigers moving forward. Any thoughts?
Well, learners, we can use help. As for starters, so why not give him a try?
We're paying him the big bucks, and yeah, we do need the help for sure. And so I would say give that man a shot. Okay. Speaking of other foreigners, Aaron Wilkerson pitched in the same practice game as Chen, and actually in the same exhibition, or pardon me, the same farm game, I believe, but he was looking good and he got the call up, and we will talk about him in the recaps because he started a game against the Yomiuri Giants yesterday. So Wilkerson is with the top squad. That's great news. Kyle Keller, who got sent down fairly early in the season because of a couple of meltdowns, if you will. He played against the Carp, the team that got the better of him on the top squad. He pitched against their farm team on April the 10th and struck out 3 in a row. And I think he pitched in another game and also gave up 0 runs in that one. Other farm action include guys that have been since called up to the top squad. That would be Koyo Aoyagi, who threw on the farm 5 innings pitched and 2 runs. And he pitched against the Giants a couple of days ago. Watanabe also returned to action on the 13th against the Dragons. Was terrible, but I think he also got called up. Here's some good news on the injury front. Saiki, who had TJ about a year and a half ago, pitched 5 innings in a farm game, and that was his longest stint since the surgery. So we could be seeing him shedding that third digit and getting a proper contract at some point in 2022. And as you said, we all know this team needs pitching help. So, Saiki, we welcome you back.
Welcome back, Saiki.
Unfortunately, we have a lot of injuries to report on. Some guys that continue to remain out of action, other guys that have recently been hurt. So on the pitching front, we've got Takahashi and Oyokawa that are still not throwing in-game situations. I don't even think they're doing bullpens. Maybe Takahashi is, I'm not sure. As for other guys, Marte was finally seen on the farm, but he is just working out on his own, so he's not even doing team workouts. Yokawa hurt himself, and he was having a good time on the farm, but he unfortunately is also hurt. Haraguchi has not been playing in games. Maegawa and Hojo as well. So plenty of hurts going on the farm, and that hurts just as much as the next couple of things. We had three of our top squad guys get test positive for COVID. Those would be Egoshi, Fujinami, and Ito. And so that sent our rotation into a major funk against the Dragons. We'll talk about that in the recaps, but that also means that we had to pull three guys up from the farm, and that decimated the farm lineup. And so
doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
That's right. We're doing our best down on the farm. Thank you, Jimbo, for the new theme music. And let's find out how we are doing on the farm. Farm team not doing so well. 5 wins and 10 losses on the season so far. Good for 4th place, only ahead of our neighbors across the Odogawa, the Buffaloes. Who's doing well on the farm? Well, Takayama was doing well on the farm, and then he got called up to the top squad, batting 325. Also, Toyota was batting 308. He got called up to the top squad, and so the best batter down on the farm. I'm looking down this list and I don't see any good batters anymore because they're all called up to the top squad. The top guy might even be Takateta with a 235. 235, my brother. Well, Onodera's got 400, but he's only played in 4 games. So that's about the best of the news there. As I said, Yokawa was starting to heat up, only batting 219, but he had 3 home runs in 11 games, which is a pretty decent clip. And then as for the pitchers, well, our pitchers are actually, some of them are not doing too badly. I'm looking especially at guys like, well, Junya Nishi has got a 2.79 ERA over just about 10 innings, which is not bad. Ren Sato, 5 innings pitched, 1 run against so far on the farm. And yeah, there's not a ton of guys with a ton of innings. I mean, the top innings guy would be Murakami, who is doing great. Now he has an ERA of 3 through 18 innings. So that would be the extent of the farm activity, except that I should definitely mention that because of the COVID cases, because of all the injuries, we didn't have enough guys to field a team for a long time down there. And so they canceled Thursday through today. 4 straight games were completely just knocked off of the schedule because we didn't stand a hope of doing anything anyways. I think the game before that, we lost like 14-3 against the Dragons.
Was that the one where we started 5 catchers in positions?
I believe so. Yep, we had, including DH. So there was a catcher and a DH. They were catchers. And then 3 guys in the field were also natural catchers. So yeah. Another little bit of farm action, that would be that on April, I think it was the 10th, Junya Nish walked 5 guys and Inoue struck out 4 times. Keep in mind, they were our top 2 picks in the 2019 draft. And we had super high hopes for both. They were both drafted out of high school. And what Hirata, the manager down there, said was, "We are not waiting around forever for you guys. You might have generated excitement back in the day, but you are going to be replaced in name by Moriki and Maegawa because they're the young and upcoming studs. You guys should be up on the top squad already. And if you're still pissing around down here," those weren't his words because he doesn't speak English, but then you're running out of time, boys. And Inoue turned around and did well his next time up. And Junya has not had a chance since because of all the canceled action. So we'll see how that pans out and stay tuned because in our next episode, of course, we're going to talk more about the farm. Before we get into the recaps, let's do some thanking of the patrons. And if you become a patron, you get to be part of all sorts of great benefits with H10, including the H10 viewing party, which we did today for the game against the Giants. We'll tell you more about that outcome in a bit, but we're not too happy. Anyhow, here's what we got. Shane Barkley, who is the owner of Japan Ball, also a huge Japanese baseball fan. I actually interviewed him because that's part of his perks of being on the podcast deluxe tier. So if you check that out, you can join that one as well. Richard Geiwitz joined us today for the viewing party. Thank you for that. And thank you for your contributions. Tom Zilla at Being Kansai. Rick Silvers and Fran are both on the all digital package. Michael Schulke is back on the Koshien Tour tier and Doug out in the Netherlands as well. This show is for you. Hey, Sanjay, at the end of the recaps or in the predictions last show, I specifically said we are not going to have just one win by the end of next show, but we will win before the next show. And man, it was looking like we were going to come in with just the one win. Didn't I could not believe it. Wow. Did we ever have a rough stretch there? So let's go through this as quick as we can, because most of this is not worth reviewing too much. Finally, the day after our last podcast, I think it was the day that it came out, we won 4-0. It was Teru with a home run in the bottom of the first, and then Obata with some good base running in the bottom of the second. That got us some runs. And Nishi, the veteran Nishi, with the complete game shutout, 118 pitches, 7 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. The losing streak ended at 9, so we were 1-9. Before we knew it, we were 1-15-1. Lost in 12 innings the next day after Ito was one strike away from a complete game shutout. He gave up the tying run, and that was it for that. And then the game went into the 12th inning and we fell apart. So 6-1 loss there. The very next day, the Bay Stars had some COVID issues, major issues. In fact, they had, I think, 10 guys test positive for COVID, and actually yesterday, another one, but we are not Y-Ben or whatever, YD-Ben. So we're going to stop the news on them. But they've had tons of COVID cases, so we canceled that game. And that actually hurt us in the long run. There was definitely some bad resonance on that. But let's go to the next series, the Carp series. Fujinami struggled in the first one. We were down 3-0 after, what, 3 innings? But he went 4 innings. And then our relievers were great. The hitters fought back in the 4th, 5th, and 6th with a run in each. We tied the game 3-3, which at this point means that we were 1-1-1 in our previous 3 games. We'll take it. Until the next day when it just all fell apart. Akiyama struggled. We lost 9-1. The only run coming on a Sato home run. The next day, we lost 1-0. Joe Gunkel was great. The only mistake he made was on Ryan McBroom? Who cares? McBroom home run. A solo shot, 1-0 loss. I was at the game, loved it. It was a fun game. We had chances in the 7th and the 9th, but no dice, 1-0 loss. So how did the shakedown of the Bay Stars wreck part of the rest of our week? That was because the Bay Stars canceled their 3 weekend games last weekend. And the Dragons said, oh, hey, well, why don't we use Ono and Yanagi against the Tigers at Vantalene Dome on extra rest? Well, guess what's going to happen? The Tigers score 2 runs in 3 games. You're not going to win many or any games that way. We lost 2-1 against Ono. It was, a Sato home run was our lone offense. Nishi was great, but we lost that game in the 9th. It was a walk-off loss. We lost the next game in the 10th. That was also a walk-off loss, or maybe the other one wasn't. Sorry, I'm missing something. Anyways, so because of our COVID cases, Ito was not able to start this one. Ogawa got the emergency start, went 4 innings of shutout ball. Other pitchers like Alcantara, Iwasada, and Yuasa were good. Kajiya did great in the bottom of the 9th, striking out the side. It was still 0-0. And in the bottom of the 10th, he fell apart and we lost 1-0. And may as well bring out the brooms. Kirishiki was the emergency starter on Thursday to replace Fujinami, who was expected to start that one. He gave up 2 runs and in the bottom of the 1st, and then his reliever, Onaka, gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the 3rd, and that was enough. It was 4-0 until the 9th inning. We got 1 run off of Yanagi. That kid threw 134, 135 pitches for the complete game. He was going for the CGSO. I'm just glad that we wrecked that. But I'm sure that kid's arm is going to be wrecked. He's thrown way too many 130-plus pitch games, 2 already this season. Rojas with a 2-for-2 performance, and that was enough to get him some starts, finally, for the Tigers against the Giants at Koshien, which is the last part of our recap. So we have Friday night, our opening day pitcher is starting. He wasn't the opener, pardon me. He was the starter, Koyo Aoyagi. Welcome back. We missed you so much. 8 innings pitched. The only run against was in the top of the 1st inning with a Sakamoto RBI single. The rest of the way, he was pristine. Sato with another home run here. 2-run shot in the bottom of the 5th against Sugano. And then Rojas with a 2-run shot in the bottom of the 8th against Hatake. Iwasaki comes in for the save, and we kick some dirt on Sugano for the first time in nearly four seasons. He takes the L against the Tigers. Yes.
Losing, this was a satisfying, satisfying win. I watched the recap over and over again.
I have never felt so good about a 215 in one team as I did on that day. The very next day, our dear Wilkerson makes his debut, and welcome to the team, my friend. Wow, outstanding performance. Nervous in the first. After that, four very clean innings. And the sixth inning, he was a little bit messed up. One run against, though, only. And our guys, for their part, got a run in the bottom of the third and a bottom of the fourth. One of them came thanks to an error from Sakamoto on their team. And in the bottom of the fourth, it was Chikamoto and Oyama with RBI doubles. And that was it. Alcantara, Iwasa, Iwazaki, are they the new winning combination for our team? Looks like it on this day. So we held on for the 2-1 win. Wilkerson becomes the first import pitcher in Tigers history to make his first start against the Giants at Koshien and win it. Trivia? Yes, it is. So we're going for the sweep today. It's the H10 viewing party. I think I'm going to cancel H10 viewing parties for eternity because we are on now a 7-game losing streak, I believe. We lost this one 3-1. Itoi with a home run in the bottom of the fourth, I believe. Third or fourth. And Gunkel served up a 3-run home run in the top of the... That one, I think, was the fourth. So ours was the bottom of the third, maybe. Anyways, it was a 3-1 loss. The only runs scored in the game were those two home runs. The Walker home run against Gunkel was a no-doubter. And this is the third straight game that Gunkel has given up a home run that cost us the game. And I'm not blaming him. Don't get me wrong here, people. Gunkel was actually quite good in this one. Very good last Sunday. But the home runs are uncharacteristic of him, and it's hurt us every time. So he is actually 0-3 on the season now.
He would be a lot better if the bats actually supported him on the days when he pitched.
Yeah. Could we score him some runs, please? Like, no runs against the Carp and one measly run against the Giants. Come on. All right. So we endured another 6-game losing streak, which also had a tie in there. And we went 3-7-1 in this stretch with one game canceled. We're still a terrible team by record, Sanjay.
3-7-1 sounds a heck of a lot better than 1-15-1, though.
It does. And the 3-16-1 record now is definitely good for last place. And before we get into the hot topic, do you have anything you want to pick on Mr. Yano for in his final season?
I'll let you do that.
Okay.
Wait, what did you just do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
First of all, I am going to hard disagree with everybody who says that, well, now look what happens because Yano made the announcement at before the season started that he's quitting. The players have given up on him. Clearly, it's because of his announcement. No, 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 it's not. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And I think the biggest factor in that is the fact that we didn't have more than like two guys in our bullpen this year that we had last year. And even last year, our bullpen was not rock solid. But this year, we had a bunch of unproven guys and we've blown a bunch of games, and it's not just Kyle Keller, it's a whole bunch of them. So I'm saying not Yano's fault. Yeah, the energy level is low on this team, but I'm not calling Yano out on that. I am calling him out on this. We call up Toyoda to the top squad because he did so well on the farm. We proceed to sit him on the bench for like four straight games where he gets two pinch hit appearances, neither of which ends in a hit. And well, what was the point then? You bring in the hot bat and let it cool off on the bench. What are you doing, man? And then he gets his very first career start against Ono of the Dragons. Yeah, good job. Give him an easy assignment to start with. Thanks a lot, Yano. And then the same thing happens with Takayama, who has been on the farm for a year and a half. And this is a guy who needs, you know, that little bit of confidence, right? So you call him up and then you leave him on the bench for like three or four straight games. And finally, he gets a start yesterday and he went 0-for, and then he didn't get the start again today. He did get a pinch hit today, but still, why are you bringing up the hot bats and then leaving them on the bench? I just don't know, man.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
All right, everybody. Well, this has been, as you know, a very interesting and unexpected start for our Hanshin Tigers. We have now played 20 games, which is roughly 1/7 of the season, and we are 3 wins, 16 losses, and 1 tie so far. So that puts us on pace for a record setting. Well, it would be roughly 21 or 22 wins on the year. And what's 16 times 7, 102 losses, right? I don't know. This would definitely have to be historically a terrible season. Pardon me, that's 112 losses. Yeah. So that could be a worst ever in NPB history. Now, I highly doubt that's going to happen. And I think that extrapolations are always a little bit ridiculous, but with the team playing the way they are, it's just time to be ridiculous, I think. And so, Sanjay, we're going to look at some of the team stats and some of the player stats and what are we on pace for in all these different areas. And so first, we're going to look at our total number of home runs against for this team. And so heading into, well, let's include today's action because we did get tagged for another home run. So through 20 games, our pitchers have given up 17 home runs. And as I crunch the numbers, that means we will give up 119 home runs on the season. Is that right? That's a recipe for some big time disaster. How about then? What about our runs scored against? Well, actually, our ERA has come down nicely because this week we gave up very few runs. In fact, I think 13 runs on the week in 6 games. So that's not too bad at all. I think our ERA is sitting around 4. And at present, we have given up 86 runs. So if we do a multiplier on that, we're looking at 602 runs. I don't have my calculator out, so I'm doing it all by in my head there, Sanjay. I don't know.
I pulled my iPhone out so I could do that for you. What do you want me to do?
Titan is not what it used to be, man. I used to be faster. I think it's 602 runs, but I can't help but wonder then, how did we do with that last year? I don't think we had nearly that many runs against. And by the way, so our 86 runs against are by far the worst in the Central League. And the best would probably be, looking at this right now, it might be pretty close race between the Dragons and the Carp. The Dragons have played fewer games, so I would say the Carp have got the best pitching this year. They gave up a 10 spot today, but they've still only given up 54 runs to our 86. So huge difference there.
That's huge.
Yes. And that might be a reason that we got swept by them. That might be, or almost swept by them. That might be a reason that we are so deep down in the standings. Runs scored. How are we doing in our runs scored this season, Sanjay? Through today's game, including that whopping one run that we scored, we have got 47 runs on the year, which means that our run differential is what, minus 29? Is that right? Minus 39. Oh. Minus 39. So we're averaging like about a minus 2 per game in our run differential, which puts us on pace for like a minus 280-ish. Run differential for the year. Crazy. That 47 runs is not going to get us very far, right? Times that by 7, you've got like a 329 right there. So I'm sorry, Sanjay, there's not much for you to say because it's kind of like, well, yeah, okay, we suck. Yeah, okay, we suck. Yeah, okay, we suck. Well, let's do some good stuff then. Let's get some good news. Right now on the season so far, guess what? The Hanshin Tigers have the fewest errors among Central League teams with just 7 through 20 games. Puts us on pace for 49. I can't remember us being that low ever in my time as a fan. And, you know, honestly, I think our defense has stepped up. I know there's been some other lapses that don't get into the error column. Pardon me, we've had 8 because Itoi committed one today. So that would put us on pace still for just 56, 57, which is not too bad. So yeah, like we've got half of the number that the Giants have this year. They're in last. And that's a complete flip on previous years where usually their defense is rock solid and ours is porous and like just dropping everything. We're the Butterfingers usually. Okay. How about quality starts? How are we doing for our quality starts on the year? Our quality start total is 8 out of 20 games. We are fifth in the Central right now, only ahead of the Bay Stars. So that doesn't bode so well. The Carp have got double our number. They've got 16 quality starts on the year. Our record, by the way, in quality start games is still just 3-5. So
that hurts.
Yeah. That's in part, well, Nishi has gotten 3 quality starts. In fact, I think he has 3 high quality starts, and he's 1-1 on the season. So poor guy. Tough luck for him. But yeah, we're not doing so great in that area.
But I'm glad to see the good Nishi back. I mean, you know, as we had discussed before, he was dealing with a lot of injuries last year. He wasn't himself. The good Nishi is back, and I have good high hopes for him.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That's something we need. I was saying to somebody, it might have been you, but if we had had this Nishi last year, we would have won the pennant, hands down. Instead, we got him this year, which means that we're not winning anything.
Wait a sec.
Itai. That's not fair. Okay, let's look at some of our players and what they might be on pace for. So first of all, Chikamoto, who led the league in hits last year with 179, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Does that sound about right? He has got right now 22 hits through 20 games, or did he get a hit today?
I don't think he had one today.
No, he didn't. He walked twice and he double played once. Okay. So he has got 22 hits through 20 games, which would put him roughly on pace for 155 hits, which is well below last year's total. But I think his OBP is much higher because it is sitting around 370 right now, which is, I think, quite a bit higher than years past. He's definitely walking at a better clip. He's got 11 walks already, which I guess puts him on pace for 75 plus, you know, almost 80 walks, which is pretty impressive. He's also striking out a lot more than usual, which is unfortunate.
You also point out he's also hitting into a lot of double plays, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, he's got 3 already on the year, which, believe it or not, is only 2nd on the team. It's not even the worst on the team, but that would put him on pace for 21 or 22 double plays this year. What up with that? For a guy that fast, this is just really unusual. In his rookie season, I think he only hit into 2 all year. He's already got 3 this year. So something's going on there. It just seems like when he's got these chances, yeah, he's just not getting her done. Although his wrist is 333. So I'm not going to complain about that for sure. He's also only on pace for 14 or 15 stolen bases. So he's only got 2 so far on the year, which I believe puts him in first place. No, Nakano is first, but he's pretty close. So yeah, not very many stolen bases, lots of double plays, not having a great start despite what people say about the numbers. Oh, he's a slow starter, but he's doing so well. Well, he is in some respects for sure. The 22 hits are nice. The 2 doubles and a triple are okay. But even then, like, that puts him on pace for like 14 doubles. I think last year he had 33. So, and then he, you know, he set a goal for himself. He wants to score 100 runs. He's on pace for 50. So that's not entirely on him, obviously. But with him batting third, you'd almost think that he would get more opportunity to score, perhaps, because the number 4 and 5 are right behind him. Anyways, it is what it is. So let's look at Aoyama, the man who should lead our team in home runs and RBIs every year. Or, yeah, should be competing with Sato. Has got 2 home runs so far. Puts him on pace for about 15. Very low. He's got 9 RBI. That puts him on pace for about 65. So that is also probably much lower than he would like to be. Who else are we going to look at here? Sanjay, why don't we look at Sato then? Speaking of him, he has got 4 home runs on the year. That puts him on pace for somewhere around 29 or so. And he's got 10 RBI, so about 70, 71, 72 RBI on the year. I would take that. I'd love it to be a little bit higher, but that even is not too bad for a sophomore. If he could get those numbers, and especially given that his strikeout total is only 16, I think he struck out today, so maybe 17 through 20 games, that's way lower than last year.
It's like almost half.
Yeah. I thought he was walking a lot more. He's only got 4 walks. No, he walked once today. So he's got 5 walks on the year. So about 1 walk every 4 games. So he's looking at maybe like a total of 35 walks, which is pretty low, but I think he's still improving. He's heading in the right direction.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Nakano, 3 stolen bases, puts him on pace for just over 20, 21, 22. Love to see that go up. Here's one that is really disturbing to me, and that is that Umeno has already got 4 double plays that he's grounded into. And this is as of yesterday. Obviously, he didn't ground into one today, but that was in 38 at-bats. So more than 1 out of every 10 of his at-bats was ending with a double play. Ouch, ouch, bad Ume-chan.
Okay. The other pitcher's best friend.
Yes, that's right. And that's not what you want. That is not what you want. Okay, so speaking of Nishi, having a great start to his year, he's perfect in quality starts. He is he's 1-0. Sorry, he has not lost a game yet because he's only given up 1 run all year on 22 2/3 innings pitched. He's got a 0.4 ERA, so he's on pace for a 7-0 season. Like that's going to happen, right? He's clearly going to win more than this at this pace. However, he only has 9 strikeouts in 22 2/3 innings, which puts him on pace for just a crazy 63 strikeouts despite throwing like 160 innings.
That's pretty wild.
That's where these pace numbers kind of get a little bit crazy and a little bit fun. Okay, here's another one that I think is worth considering. With the pitchers, I don't want to like dwell too much on all the really bad numbers. So I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, Gunkel's on pace for 23 home runs against or anything like that. But rather, oh, I just did dwell on it. Rather, I'll look at things like this. Hamachi, who has come in this season and really been a pleasant surprise with a whip of 0.71 as of yesterday, has thrown in 8 games, which means that he's on pace for about a 56, 57, 58 game season. That's really high for a guy that really doesn't have a lot of mileage on his arm or a lot of experience. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. And the same thing goes for Yuasa, who is now a setup guy. He was, I think, the closer for 1 game and it didn't work out. And now I think they're going to put him in the 8th. He is doing great with a 2.16 ERA. By the way, Hamachi's ERA is a shiny, I think it's a 1.13 because of his shutout inning today. So he's doing outstanding. But back to Yuasa, 9 games already on the year through 20. So that puts him on a crazy pace of almost 70 games, like 65 games, which is a lot for a guy who probably has, I think last year he threw 3 and that was his career high. He's only 21, 22 years old, but a little bit troubling. Hopefully they find a way to regulate his mound appearances. But on the whole, that's kind of what the team is looking like so far. Again, a lot of this was just crazy throwing numbers around, but any thoughts on any other players that you want to talk about?
Well, before saying any other singling out any players, I'm thinking that in general, the pitchers are really coming through in spite of, you know, all the turbulence that we had with sending people up and down and missed starts and slides and so on. So kudos to the pitchers. And I guess what the quality starts imply is that we aren't getting the quality at-bats to go along with them so that the quality starts turn into actual Ws. And that's on the hitters. They're going to turn around. They're going to do better. I think we touched on this before, and we were going to mention it earlier today, but I think that we need to tweak the batting lineup a little bit more. I don't like having lefty, lefty, lefty in the first 3 hitters. And I think that I think it was Shimoya Nagi who suggested, hey, bat Oyama number 2. It's not because it's a demotion, but if you look at the major leagues and so on, they're talking about having your best hitter bat number 2, Mike Trout of the Angels being one of them. Throw Oyama in number 2, bat Sato number 3, and see if something happens out of there. Why not? Is what Shimo said, and I fully concur.
Yeah, I think there's definitely areas to improve upon with the batting order and even the selection of players. We have mentioned several times, like finally, was it yesterday that, or was it Friday that Sato finally got the start at third base? Or was it today? No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yes. And what that means is that they squeezed poor little Kento Itohara out of the lineup because he was absolutely atrocious. Well, defensively, he's never been good, but even at the plate, he was not doing well. So they squeezed him. They put Obata at second. What a change that has made for the team defensively, where second base is just airtight. he's turning double plays that just look beautiful, just so slick. He's just so fast compared to Itohara. So Sato at third, and that means that in the outfield, you've got room for two out of these guys, right? You've got Itoi, Rojas, Takayama, Toyoda, Shimada, and then Onodera if he gets called up as well. I mean, all these guys that are chomping at the bit, you got space for two of them instead of one, because if Sato's occupying right, then that only leaves left as the place that you got wiggle room. Well, I would say, yeah, keep Itohara on that bench as long as he's not producing. And how can you produce when you're on the bench?
Catch 22.
Just one more quick fact to throw at you all. So the team as of yesterday was batting 219, which is well below the league average 241. It's last place. The team also had a RISP of 197, which only went down today because our only run was an Itoi solo home run. So we didn't get any hits with runners in scoring position. So that is bound to get better. I mean, I don't think any team can go too much longer below 200 with runners in scoring position than the Tigers. Furthermore, you look at some other teams like the Carp right now, as of yesterday, we're batting 324 with runners in scoring position, and that cannot be sustained. So I think we're going to see a little bit more evening out of things. All of you who participated in the prediction show and are going, what is happening? Like, how are the Carp so good and the Tigers so bad? It will level off. I can't guarantee you that your predictions are going to be closer to right, but the Tigers are going to start getting more W's. The Carp are going to start getting more L's, and things are going to start getting right real soon. And speaking of which,
what's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen with the record going
to be? So, my man, we have got 9 of our next 12 games on the road before we meet again. 3 in Yokohama. That's basically a home series. Plus, they're kind of COVID decimated. Plus, Austin is back in America getting his elbow or something checked out. So, give me a sweep, boys. We got to win at least 2 or 3, but give me a sweep.
Sweep. Sweep me.
And then we head, sweep me off my feet. Yes. And then we head to Jingu to play the Swallows for 3. I don't think they have their best pitchers going. I could be wrong. Actually, it might be the same 3. No, it might be the same 3 that we faced in opening weekend. So that might bode not good for us because we got shut out in 2 of those 3. But we're playing in a pitcher's park. We've also now got, instead of Fujinami, Ogawa, and Kirishi, against them, we will bring, probably anyways, Aoyagi, Wilkerson, and Gunkel. So I like the sound of that a whole lot better.
I like that a lot too.
Oh, by the way, in the Baystar series, there is talk that Saito may get one of those starts because he did do a bit of grooming as a starter on the farm last season. And because Fujinami and Ito are still out because of COVID, we need someone to step in. It's not going to be Kirishiki this time around. I think Ogawa might get another shot, but we still need someone for that 3rd game. Okay.
And it's then, not going to be Wei Yin-chen yet.
No, probably not. No. Yeah. And then we've got the Dragons on the, on the farm. Well, it's at Koshien. And the Dragons are no farm team this year. They're actually hitting quite well, surprisingly. And they, I believe, are sitting in 3rd place in Central, and they are quite comfortably over 500, like 2 games or 3 games over 500. So the Dragons are not the pushovers they used to be. They did sweep us, of course, at their ballpark. So it means that we need to return the favor. And then we are going into Tokyo Dome, and we need to right the wrong of, first of all, being swept there earlier in the year, and secondly, of them winning today. So let's take at least 2 of 3 there. My man, I think it is time for our team to take these 12 games and go over 500 in them. That's my bold prediction, man. I think we're going to go 8-4.
Ooh, I would love that.
I would love 12-0, but yeah.
Well, 12-0 would be paradise.
Yes.
You want a number from me?
Yes.
I am going to say 7-3-2.
Okay, that's still 4 above water. I'll take that and run with it. So, everybody, hang on tight. The Tigers are still playing ball. The H10 is still playing podcasts and everything else. By the way, we also started Oryx, Oryx Buffalo's English News. If you want to check that out on Twitter, go to @TheOryxBuffalo. Why am I plugging that here? The reason is because we were this close to changing the podcast to Oryx Buffalo's English News, because if the Tigers keep on losing, I don't know if I can stay sane. But I still want to thank all of you for tuning into H10. And if you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, go check us out on Patreon for all the exciting benefits. Go check out our website, thehuntingtigers.com. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. All of that is in the show notes. As I said, we also have the Oryx Twitter right now, and we may move forward with other Oryx stuff. It depends on time factors for myself and Zorni. Special thanks to Lemon Music Studio for the theme music and show for mixing the pod for us. Special thanks, as always, Sanjay, for joining the show.
Thank you for having me along.
Catch you next time. Let's go, Tigers.
Go hunting.